Hello.
Randala.
Oh, gosh, you do sound bad.
Well, I'm taking a lot of medicine. I went to the doctor's yesterday.
Oh,
and
they
gave me... Oh, do what?
I was wondering if you had gone to the doctor.
Oh, yeah. I went yesterday morning.
Okay.
They gave me that Tamiflu. That Tamiflu. And told me to drink lots of liquid. Gave me something for coughing. But I've been coughing up. I've been wanting to get all that stuff out.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, just hang in there. Wish you were closer. I could send you some food.
I'm going to hang in there. They told me, the doctor told me, she says, I want you to go home. I want you to do some chicken soup. So I got some chicken broth.
Yeah.
And that's because it has all that fat. If I had schmaltz, I would have used that.
Well, I have some in my freezer, but that doesn't help you.
That breaks up all the stuff in your system.
Mm-hmm.
And the fat in the chicken fat has something in it, a chemical. And so I did that.
And you can do Mucinex.
Yeah, that's I'm doing that too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing that.
So take advantage of it and rest.
That's what I'm doing. I'm going from the chair, from the breathing machine, to the bed. And I can't lay flat. I cough.
Yeah.
But Roy helped me with the animals yesterday. I think he's going to come back today after church, after, you know, he gets through. And
okay.
So we got them all ready. We got them ready for the cold.
Yeah.
I bought hay. All
supposed
kinds
to be
29 of stuff.
Degrees, so that, you know, it's just about where it was when we got married 59 years ago. It dropped to 20 degrees the day we got married.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it started in the afternoon at 3. The temperature just completely dropped, and it dropped to 20 degrees, and it was like that for several days, you know. I don't remember, you know, so it's cold. Well, let's wait for our teacher to come on.
Well, all I can say, Barbara, is you were lucky. That's good snuggling weather.
Well, mostly what we did was look out the window and talk. We only had 2 days because I had to get back to work and he did too. You know, so we just had really 1 day.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. We've had 59 good years, so can't complain.
Well, must be something to it.
Yep.
He was on last night. I was the only one. We stayed 10 minutes. Nobody else came. So he left.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything.
Well, I've lost track of time. I mean, it's... In fact, I just happened to look up and think, oh, this is Sunday. I've been trying to cook. And this is Sunday. So, and it was 12:25. So other than that, I would have forgotten today. It's a busy time because the family's off and they come. When it's weekends, you know, and you can't leave them. I got a phone call last night. I had to take the phone call. So, you know, just just the way it is.
Yeah.
But I read till 2 o'clock. So I did my rotation. But
maybe he's asleep.
Am I still on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I hit something and 13 came up.
No, you're still on.
Okay.
He may not be coming on today.
Well, it's just 7 minutes, so we'll give it 3 more, and then I'll call.
Okay.
Okay, I'm hang up and give him a call.
Okay, I'll stay on
and
the
then
line.
And then I'll come back. Okay, it's Hannah, and he's coming.
Okay.
Shavuot Tov. Good morning.
Shavuot Tov.
Anna, have you gotten back on?
Yes, I'm here. I think we said Shua okay. Tov at the same time, so we were in unity here.
All right. I only heard the one. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So let us begin by standing the Yana Bakor. Please join me. Anna Bekoah Gedulat Shemincha Tatir Terura Alephet Gimel Yutat Sadi. The letters of the month of Tevet, the Bet that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn, and the Ayin that created the constellation Gedi, the astrological sign of Capricorn. Together, the Ayin and the Bet have a gematria of 72, which we know connects to the level of Chachma, as well as the 72 names of God and the 72 names of the Tzaddikim. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu tacharenu nora kufrei shayin sintet nun na gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevava Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalad Yudkav Shin Barhem Tacharem Rachame Sikatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Saritav Gimel Chasim Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adata Et Kufbet Tet Dunayan Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pene Zokre Kirushata Yud Gimel Lamed Zion Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatia Katenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufal Zariyutaf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. Now we will separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav Chesed V'emet, Notze chesed la'alafim, nosea on wafesha v'chata'a v'nakei. We're now going to connect to a verse from the Zohar, from the Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29. This Pasuk has the energy of certainty. And it is always best to connect to certainty when you study, and for many other times in your life, then it's best actually to have the consciousness of certainty in everything that you do. And we will start with a L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud Kud Shabrichu Ishkinte Bitchilu Urchimu Tchilu Tchilu Urchimu Liyakta l'shem yudhei b'vavhei B'yichudah shalim b'shem kol Yisrael L'imud Torah mitzvah לעסוק תורה מצווה. ויהי נועם, אדוני אלוהינו אלינו, מעשה ידינו כונני אלינו, מעשה ידינו כוננהו. רבי אבא אמר בקמא אתר, תנא נן דקודשא, בריחו קומה דאבד, לעילא ותתא, קולא יהיו קשות. ביובדה דקשות וליד לך מילה בעלמה, דבעיה ברנש לדח יעליה, מיניה ולנגה, ביה כלנה, דהכולו עובדה דקשות אינון, וכולה הצטריך בעלמה. We're now going to connect to the energy of the year 5778, our current year, which is the time to bow to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Amnon vayitchal vayavo. המלך לראותו, ויאמר אמנון, אל המלך תבוא, נא תמר אחותי, ודלבב בעיני, שתי לביבות ועברך, מידה. The second verse that has this energy is Psalm chapter 32, verse 5. Chatati odiacha, va'avoni lo kisiti. Amarti ode ale, v'shai ladonai yohe wahe. We ata nasata awon chatati sela. The year 5777, the year of the goat, the energy of the goat, also has two verses that connect to its energy. First that we study is Lamentations chapter 3 verse 52. Tzod saduni katzipur oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to create Tzatz ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we're able to connect to the words Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse comes from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. In this verse, the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Zion, is concealed within it. The name, the letters of the name, are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai Elohechem tadibaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776, the year of the pause, also has two verses that connect to this energy. That we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lehavshit et kol haolot vayehaskum acheichem halevim Ad kilo tam laha, v'yad yitkachu hakohanim, ki halivim yishre levav lehitkadesh me hakohanim. There are 25 words in this verse. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permute these letters into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe, Lalahe, Wawawa, Yolayo Alame, Hehehe, Akaa, Brekaha. The second verse is from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bichu ba Adonai Yohewahe Adead Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur Olami. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first is from Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tisheni meni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The next verse we study is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoya asher yitchabe sham v'shavtem elai el nachov v'halachti itchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipasti Oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yom ruayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse that connects to this energy, and that's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wesamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakam tachtav v'lo yergas od v'lo yosifu b'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God. And the way we make this connection is by saying the letters of the names using their root vowel.
Wahe, wayo, layo, sayo, te, alame, mehe, shi, la, la, he. Aka aka heta heza yo alada la awa he hea yo zala me behe e re yo he kome la awa kala yo la wawa pe he la nula ha yo 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 me la he he he. Nu ta he he a a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo a wa me la ka ba be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da a nu yo he a me re he a yo yo za. Hey, 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 me yo ha, wa wa la yo la he, sa a la e a re yo, a
si la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo e he shi a me me nu nu wa nu yo ta me be he pe wa yo nu me me yo yo la e re he me sa re wa me be yo he he a nu wa me he wa me he yo ga me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. There are three names in this chart. Name number 13, which has the energy of heaven on earth. Name number 14, which has the energy of farewell to arms. And name number 30, which has the energy of building bridges. These three names connect to the energy of the year 5778. The 72 names from the Tzaddikim, we will connect to in the same manner with their root vowels. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a yo sa la me re he he yo yo he me me la wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me ha yo he yo me nu he 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 wa nu yo he he shi ya yo re ta shi ya he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he shi he me ka ha yo wa wa la yo yo he sa a la a re yo a a la me ta he wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me nu he a nu wa ta me la he pe a yo nu ko me yo re la he be he me za re wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo ta he be me ka ko a la a he he wa re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The Tzaddikim who left this thirteenth day of Tevet Rabbi Moshe ben David Biederman, known as the Lilover Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Vishiva, Rabbi Yechiel Mordechai Gordon, Rabbi Yitzhak HaKohen Huberman, and the eighth verse of the Ana Bekoa we say in a whisper. Today's class can be found on the unique astrological times link that is below the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage, or it's at the end of the page if you are using a mobile device. Scroll down approximately halfway where it says Preparation for the Period of Shovavim. that is just above Rosh Chodesh Shabbat, and it's after the recordings for Chodesh Tevet. There are three links on that page. Today we will just be using the first link, the Shavuot handout. We will be starting daily classes on Tuesday, January 2nd, that we will explain during this class, but those classes daily will be Monday to Fridays, starting on this Tuesday, and they will start at 7 a.m. West Coast time. The period of Shavuot is the name of our class today. It is a period in the Hebrew calendar. It's an astrological period, and yet it is more than that. It's a period that very few people, even in the Jewish Orthodox world, are aware of. So let us learn about it. The Kabbalists reveal that the six-week period that begins with the Parasha of Shemot, and we start to study for Shemot last night, and it ends with the Parasha of Mishpatim. This six-week period is potential teshuvah for any errors created by us in our last lifetime, in our many last lifetimes, in the Sefirah of Yesod. Shogavim is an acronym for the six parashas. The six parashas of the period of Shogavim are Shemot, which begins with a shin, Vayera, which begins with a vav, Bo, which begins with a bet, Beshalach, which also begins with a bet. Yud comes from Yitro, and Mem from Mishpatim. Together they spell the Hebrew word Shovavim, six letters. Shovavim is a Hebrew word that translates as a mischievous child. I ask you to contemplate, why would the Kabbalists use this acronym for this particular period of time? It usually starts in the middle of Capricorn and ends before the month of Adar. The more you learn about these months and these parashas will help you achieve the tikkun connected to this period. And we will speak more of this below. In the Tanakh, Shavuot is written twice. Both times it is in Jeremiah chapter 3, once in verse 14 and once in verse 22. Both times, it is being translated as faithless, yet has the connotation of a mischievous child. What does a child, the idea of a mischievous child, have to do with being faithless? This is a child that is making mistakes, a mischievous child. He's having fun fooling other people. He's having fun using his curiosity. A mischievous child is a child who is pushing the limits of his parents' patience, and a child who is acting in a faithless manner, not listening to the teachings of his parents. Does this sound familiar? most people will not even contemplate that idea. Why does it sound familiar? Because we think we know that we're dealing with Hashem, who is our Father. But we don't think of that in modern everyday language or consciousness, that Hashem is our Father constantly. And this is how it's easy to fall into the pattern of a Shogavim. During leap years, there are two additional weeks, which we will just skip this paragraph because it does not apply to this year. Shogavim has a gematria of 360. 360 is the gematria of the letter Shin when fully spelled out. Shin, Yud, Nun. And this indicates the idea of the passion being acted out by the mischievous child. Because the Shin has the energy of passion. It has the energy of a fire. It created fire. It has the energy of life. And passion brings life. Passion is life. All of these thoughts that I just expressed are an unwritten commentary. This indicates the idea of the passion being backed out by the mischievous child. Other words that have this gematria are Hashanah, which translates as the year, the name of the city of Shechem. The phrases Kobi Boker, meaning morning stars, the name of God dealing with healing, Mem He Shin Yud He, also has this gematria. This teaching us that when we do teshuvah for creative, for creativity, and sexual improprieties, we are creating healing. The Zohar in the Parasha of Kiddushim says, "V'tachatze bezina de'ishtechach barnash bezivugach adekar benukba le'itkawan le'itkadsha." Kidita o yeot yeot kidein hu shalim v'yikre echad bilo pagimu v'ginei kach v'ei barnash lemach mechde v'yiteya v'ahiyo Shiata lazimna la biruta kadameya vait kavanun tarvaya yehu kechad lehahiyo mila bekad nishtache Tarvayhu kechad kedem kola chad benafsha uvgufa benafsha liad beka da beda biruta kada ugo gufa kimadi olifna divarnash tila Nasi hu keman the Itpalig, the Kadmat Chabiryan, the Karvanupa, Kedain Itavedu, Kadufa Ishtaka, the Inu Kadnafsha, the Kadufa the Ikre. Barna Shechad, Kedain Kutshabarichu Share, Be'echad Be'af Kayad, Ruchadik Dusha, Behahu Echad, Be'lenik Rum Benin, Dekutshabarichu, Kimade Itmar Ugine, Kach Kedushaim. Piyu ki kedal kadosh ani Hashem, zakayim inun, Israel dila ukim, milada beatar, achara ela bea, mamash diktiv, ki kadosh ani Hashem, Begindit dabeka, beya vela veachera, vialdach kedoshim, tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Eloheichem. This verse is translated, come and see. When a person is in one union, male and female, and aims to sanctify himself properly, then he is perfect and is considered one without defect. For this reason, man needs to bring joy to his wife at that time of marital relations and to prepare her with him with one desire so she does not feel forced. Both should ready themselves to the matter. And when both are together, then everything is one in body and soul. In soul to cling to each other, in one wish, in one body, as we learn, the man who does not marry is like a half. When they join male and female, they become one body. Thus they are one soul, one body, and man is then one. Then the Holy One, blessed be He, dwells in the one and deposits the Holy Spirit in that one. Meaning there flows a Holy Spirit in the fetus, which is conceived from them. These are called the children of the Holy One, blessed be He, as we learned above. And for this reason you shall be holy. For I, Hashem, your God, am holy. Fortunate are Israel for not participating this place, for not placing this thing elsewhere, but only to Him. As it is written, for I, Hashem, your God, am holy. For only the Holy One, blessed be He, is truly called holy, that His children are to cling to Him only, and to do no other, and to cling to no other. Hence you shall be holy, for I, Hashem, your God, am holy. This Zohar helps to set the tone for this period of Shavuvim, and now it is time to say the eighth verse of the Ana Mekoach to ground any excess energy that we may have picked up in what we have revealed that would cause us to move away from balance. Baruch Shem Kivel Kuto Ne'arafayet. Remember to whisper it, to say it silently. We're now going to read an essay from Rabbi Ariel Barsadok on the subject of Shavuvim. Shodavim is the Hebrew term for mischief maker or mischief makers. Fittingly, the word is also an acronym for the six weekly Torah portions, Shemot, Vayera, Bo, Bishalach, Yitro, and Mishpatim. The reading of these portions falls within the two Hebrew months of Tevet and Shvat. This period is considered auspicious for fasting and the rectification of the sins of character weakness, most notably sexual sins. Here is a unwritten commentary. Do you make the connection to from the stories of these six parashiyot, which starts with the names of the children of Israel, starts with the birth of Moses, and goes through the 10 plagues, and to the redemption from Egypt? The giving of the Esther Dibrot, the 10 utterances, and finally the continuation of all of the halachot in Mishpatim. How do these stories relate to mischievous children? And I'll give you one thought that I have had when I've contemplated this question. As the people before the Torah were not obligated to the rules of the Torah, to the mitzvot. They were not obligated, therefore they were not responsible for their actions. And that is the truth about children. They're not responsible for their actions. The parents are. Continuing to read. There are many different types of traditions associated with these weeks, yet they are all for similar purpose. And this being teshuvah, to return to Hashem, and tikkun, to make correction. The general sin which almost everyone is guilty of in one form or another, of sexual impropriety. This can mean forbidden relations or behaviors on one's own part, or even the mere thoughts that we allow ourselves to think. An unwritten commentary. Getting a thought. Are you responsible for why that thought came to you? Our sages, and especially the masters of the Kabbalah, emphasize that sexual blemishes are the greatest stains upon the soul and serve to create great distance between our Creator and ourselves. I am adding, this period of Shovavim is a good period to do teshuvah for sexual mistakes. It also needs to be done during the period of Elul as well, and it is also able to be done every day of the year. Yet it is never enough just to proclaim our remorse or desire to repent. A change of attitude must accompany our statements of remorse. Repentance must be taken to heart and acted upon with true sincerity, not just filed away as a mere academic performance. Honest change in one's internal character only comes about when one first changes one's external behavior. Change seldom arises independently from within. We must often help it along. We are admonished by Rabbi Meir in Pirkei Avot to do the right thing even for the wrong reasons. For in the end, doing the right thing even for the wrong reasons will transform us internally to do the right thing for the right reasons. The actions change the attitude. It is not the other way around. This statement needs to be contemplated. We are taught to work on our characters, on our personalities, actually. We're taught to work on our midot, meaning our character traits, our personality traits. What does it mean to work on our personality traits or character traits? It means to change them, to realize they're wrong and to do otherwise. It means to change our habits. We all think that this change comes from within, from our conscious decision to change. But it's not true. These changes don't come from within, they come from without. They come by virtue of our doing the proper action. They come from our study of Hebrew words and letters in the Torah. And these letters is what changes us. But those thoughts do not come from within. They come attached to the study that we do. Most of the last words I said to you is an unwritten commentary. As important as it is for one to change one's behavior, changing attitudes is most important. Even when we are doing the right things, we must still look deep within ourselves to address our improper thoughts, our improper attitudes, and our desires. Comprehensively changing what one does can only come about through a cultivation and expression of inner strength, discipline, and moral character. Remorse and apologies are nothing so long as one continues to repeat offensive behavior. Shavim is a time for us to not only change undesirable behavior, but also to reflect within one's heart upon the reasons why one has chosen wanton ways and what one can do to better oneself to no longer weakly choose to embrace foolish choices. My commentary. Note the hints of binding by striking. When we have the internal conversation as part of stopping our reactions, we learn what aspect of our internal nature we want to change. Also, the more one changes to make change, the more one attempts to make changes, the more one is likely to achieve that change. Teshuvah means to turn away from one's wanton behavior and to choose what is good. Tikkun takes this one step further. Tikkun means to repair and correct, which leads towards completion and perfection. It is not enough that one no longer creates further damage. One must also make repair of the damage that one has already caused. This is the meaning of taking responsibility for one's actions. Only when one does what needs to be done to make repairs for what one has broken, can it be said that one indeed has turned from their former ways and has made teshuvah. Rectification of sexual blemishes must be accomplished in two different ways. First, one must repair the spiritual damage caused by one's actions, one's deeds. And this is done by reciting certain prayers and meditations, and also by fasting. The second, yet primary method of rectification is that one must address one's personal weaknesses and character flaws that led one to stumble into the forbidden behavior in the first place. Unless one learns strength of character and addresses the heart of the protect problem within oneself, no amount of spiritual work will make tikkun and allow one to avoid reincarnation. To state it simply, unless one can first rectify the source of blemish within one's character, the results of those blemishes in both the physical and spiritual world cannot be rectified and wiped clean. Let no one misunderstand this. Our entire Torah is based upon this principle. Concerning traditional observances of this period, one of the most popular is the observance of fasting. Torah tradition defines a fast as a total abstinence from any and all food and drink, including water. From the moment of dawn, when the rays of the sun are first seen on the horizon, until dusk, when the last rays of the sun fall below the horizon. During these winter months, when the days are short, such a fast may only last for 10 or so hours. As such, a fast of such brevity is relatively easy for most and therefore can be observed by many. While abstaining from food and drink is one way of showing one's remorse for wanton behavior, the fast also serves another more spiritual purpose. The burning of our own body fat is considered an offering of oneself to Hashem. Thus, the concept of fasting as being an offering to Hashem has more than just symbolic meaning. What fasting is being offered to Hashem has more than just symbolic meaning, as I repeated myself for a purpose. What was offered as sacrifice on the ancient temple altar was the fat and blood of the animal. When we fast, our bodies are still naturally burning calories. There is no intake of food to replenish what is burned up. And as is medically known, what is burned up first is usually the fat. Therefore, by fasting, the natural fire of one's body burns one's fat, and thus blood along with it. One's fasting, therefore, is not just a symbolical action, but an actual offering of fat and blood, just as it was on the ancient altar. During the six-week period, the tradition has developed to fast on the Mondays and Thursdays, the days when the Torah is read in the synagogue. Fasting is not acceptable on the Shabbat. Therefore, for the 6 weeks, for 2 days each week, for a total of 12 days, one will fast from dawn until dusk. as described above. Yet the mere abstinence from food and drink is not enough. The fast must be focused and performed as a means of mini atonement for one's blemishes. This food is brought about through the special prayers and meditations performed on these days. There are a number of special Shovavim prayer books available that have a full array of prayers. This is neither the time nor place to enumerate these practices. Please contact your local Jewish bookseller if you are interested in acquiring a copy. The traditional Sephardic Shovavim prayer book is entitled Marpeh LeNefesh, to heal the soul. And this book will outline for you the various prayers and other traditions of the period. During this period, there is also observed a special type of fast called the Ta'anit Dibur. We'll discuss more below. This is not a fast from food and drink. It is a fast from speaking. The tradition has evolved that for one day, from dawn until dusk, one does not speak any superfluous speech. Rather, one speaks only the words of one's daily prayers, and that is all. The day is passed doing something that is considered to be a very powerful spiritual tool for rectifying one's sins. Usually observed on a Shabbat after the morning prayers and breakfast, the entire congregation gathers in the synagogue to perform the special tikkun. The special tikkun of the Ta'anit Dibur is the tradition of the entire book of Psalms, all 150 of them three times, for a total reading of 450 Psalms. This is an added commentary. There is also a tradition, a teaching by one of the sages, that someone who is looking to find their soulmate should add an additional 8 psalms to this 450 psalms. They add the first 8 psalms a fourth time, for a total of 458 psalms during the Ta'anit Dibur. This is a segula for finding your soulmate. This reading at an average pace will take almost 10 hours. This takes up the entire day. The readings begin after breakfast and should end in time for the afternoon mincha prayers. In the traditional Shovavim prayer books, there are also additional prayers recited both before and after the readings, centered on the matters of the day. Starting January 2nd, this coming Tuesday, we will have special Psalms reading conference calls at 10 a.m., or it's actually at 7 a.m. Pacific time. This will include a Hebrew reading, an English translation, some commentary, and some contemplation. Each class will be approximately an hour long. Our conference call will be recorded, and these recordings will be located on our website until the Mashiach comes, and may that happen today. And may we all say Amen. Please note that doing this hourly, daily,
is a less intensive Tanit Dibur than when done on a Shabbat or done as a full day. Please do not confuse the two as being equal to each other. But we live in a, this is a commentary from this point, we live in a very weak generation. What is a weak generation? A weak generation is a generation that falls to Satan easily, with less difficulty than other generations that were before us. Since we are in a weak generation, we will do the Tanit Dibur daily. But just as a weak generation, needs to do things with less difficulty, Hashem rewards us by providing the effects of our own negative actions in a less intense way. Continuing to read. The months of Tevet and Shvat, when Shovavim occur, are said to be astrological times of difficulty for the Jewish people in general. These months are a type of astrological Murphy's Law, meaning that if there is a given opportunity for something to go wrong, it will, and it will happen at the worst possible time. This does not mean in any way that things are destined to go wrong during this time and that we have no control over these matters. Those with knowledge of true astrology are defined by Torah. Okay, with true astrology is defined by the Torah, know that astrological influences only reveal potentials, but can never predict actual. Anyone using astrology to generate predictions violates the Torah commands of idolatry. Nothing is set and definite in life other than the will of Hashem. Tevet and Shvat exert a negative astrological influence, but this force of negativity, this dinim, can only become manifest if and when one's reckless behavior creates a doorway for it to materialize. And if we act in ways that violate the Torah, we create the opportunity for negative things to manifest in the worst of ways. And in this most negative of times. Therefore, if something bad happens now, it is not because heaven ordained it so, but rather because we were not careful enough in avoiding its coming through our actions being more connected to the Torah and less connected to our own selfish desire to receive. In conclusion, how one chooses to observe the days of Shovavim is entirely up to the individual. There are absolutely no halachic requirements other than the perennial mitzvah of Teshuvah, which is a daily mitzvah. Although one is not necessarily obligated to observe the traditions of this time, it is still a wise, meritorious, and spiritually helpful thing to do. one should consult with one's local Rav for specific information and details what you as an individual can do and what your community as a whole can do. If your Rav is not Sephardi or is not educated in the traditional Sephardi ways, he may not be familiar with all of the Shovavim traditions. Don't let him get away with it. Don't let him off the hook or tell you not to pay attention to these traditions. The Shovavim traditions are not observed exclusively by Sephardim. A number of Chassadim also are aware of the importance of these days and guard them wisely. Make your local Rav do this, his homework, and direct you and your congregation in the ways of public communal Shovavim Teshuvah. In this way, we all draw together as a body, and we assist one another in change. Most important, we bring tikkun to ourselves and to the community at large, and help bring the coming of Mashiach ever closer. Whether or not your community will adopt Shovavim traditions, you as an individual should. Whether or not one can fast depends on many factors. Just remember, the fast is a means to an end and not an end unto itself. A fast is supposed to assist us in focusing on the important factors within ourselves that need to be addressed and changed. One can do this without fasting. From a Kabbalistic point of view, fasting certainly helps refine the soul and atone for one's sins. One who is able to conduct one's daily affairs regularly while fasting should do so. Yet while fasting brings teshuvah, tikkun is only achieved by change, real change, change of behavior, and real internal change of attitude. During these days of Shovavim, focus on change. The next section is titled Shovavim 5777. We're going to skip this section and start where it says the fasting and charity. The Baal Shem Tov teaches that our generation is considered a weak generation, and a weak generation is unable to fast extensively. It is okay for an individual to perform the five prescribed fasts, which are the fast of Gedalia, fasting on Yom Kippur, the fast of the 10th of Tevet, which occurred this past week, the fast of Esther, the fast of the 17th of Tammuz, and the fast of Tisha B'Av. You will notice that there are six and not five, but that's because the fast of Esther is considered a choice not prescribed by the rabbis, because Purim is not a holiday ordained by the Torah. Other fasts are voluntary, and it is best in a weak generation to give tzedakah, tithing, rather than fast. But a fast of words can be done by everyone.
I recommend that you read the section on the fasting and the tzedakah that is associated with fasting, because it applies to the Tanit Dibur as well. There are a few very severe negative actions done by the majority of people in our generation. One is wasting seed. Another is being intimate, having sexual intercourse with a woman while she is menstruating, being in her period of nidah. Failure to circumcise halakhically in a kosher manner. And most children are not aware of what that kosher manner is. They're only 8 days old at the time. They depend on their parents to have performed it properly. But did they? It's something that a person, a man, should determine by discussing with their parents who is the moil. Was it done in synagogue or a hospital? Was it done in the proper manner? And learning about the proper manner is recommended so that one can determine for oneself if one needs to perform what's known as a second Brit Milah. No, it is not another circumcision in the sense of cutting away skin. But it is a ritual that cuts away the foreskin that was left on the child at the spiritual level. Failure to put tzitzit on any four-cornered garment. These are serious sins that most people ignore. It's recommended to take a personal accounting of these sins, of these potentials, and determine for yourself what is the appropriate action, the appropriate amount of fasting, the appropriate amount of tzedakah. If you have any questions, I am always available to assist you. We are reading this section titled Yehudim Meditations and Other Corrections to Perform. Some sages and Kabbalists teach that performing Yehudim and Hebrew letter meditations will enhance our connection to the Shovavim period and help to provide the tikkun that we need. Yehudim means unifications. One example is what we do during the saying of the word Amen. We do the yichud of bringing the spiritual level down to the physical and creating a unity, or bringing the physical level up to the spiritual and creating a unity. We do this with the gematria and our consciousness. The gematria is 91, which is 65, the name of Adonai, and 26, the name of Hashem. We do this with the shiluv of combining these two words. As we know, Adonai is the name of God for the physical world, while Hashem is the name of God for the spiritual levels. 91 creates the unity, or the Yehudim. Whichever name you start first is directing the order of which world comes into which world. When you start with the Aleph, You are raising the physical world to the spiritual world. When you start with the Yud of Hashem, you are bringing the spiritual world down to the physical world. Hebrew letter meditations strengthen our tool of meditation. And if you are interested in this subject, write me a letter. Our conclusion. The period of Shavuvim is correcting the creative and sexual mistakes which occur only because we act as a mischievous child. A child who doesn't accept his or her own responsibility for the cause and effect of the things that happen in their lives. Running after what we want, immediate gratification, like a small child, a mischievous child. I wish you all a good Shavuvim period. Becoming an adult instead of a mischievous child. Remaining a child, but no longer mischievous. The choices are yours. I hope you'll join us every morning at 7 a.m. West Coast time as we learn about the Psalms, but more importantly, while we contemplate the Psalms. This is the end of our class for today. I just direct your attention back to the unique astrological times link and the period that where this handout, where today's class handout came from. The other two items, the Psalm landing page and material for a Tanit Dibur, is links that we will use on Tuesday mornings. Excuse me, on every morning as we connect to the Tanit Dibur and record those connections. I hope you'll join us. I hope you will come ready to start. But always know that the recordings will be made available, providing that there is at least one person who joins the connection so that the recording can be recorded. It's a simple requirement, but it needs to happen. Are there any questions? I will give you time to unmute yourself as I remind you that class is tomorrow, Monday, which is New Year's Day. Will happen. They will happen at 4:30. They will happen at 7 o'clock. And the class today at 3 p.m. will also happen, our advanced reincarnation class. I bid shalom to each and every one of you. Have a very happy, healthy, prosperous new year, new secular year, because you're already having a happy, healthy, prosperous year for the Jewish year that took place on Rosh Hashanah. And if that statement does not apply to you, think again and realize there is nothing that is negative that ever happens in the world. It's only our perception that it's happened as negative. Shavuot Tov. Happy New Year. Happy secular New Year.
you very much.
Thank you all.
Good wishes for you too.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
That's a teaching that I rarely say, but it's a good time to say it. If someone gives you a statement, be well, have a happy something, these are blessings. They're not blessings in the traditional sense, but they're blessings in their consciousness. Say amen. Unify the two worlds. Every blessing you hear can only manifest if you say amen. So if I say to you, shalom, am I saying goodbye? No. I'm blessing you with peace. And it's recommended that we all say amen.
Amen.
Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you.